Good morning, and it's good to welcome you here this morning to our Harvest Sunday, and always an exciting time, and we're thankful for the opportunity to assemble together and worship the Lord freely. And Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to assemble together and worship you, and we do thank you for your many blessings, even in just this past week that we've been able to experience. We praise you so much for the great blessing of salvation, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and living for Him. And we just thank you for the opportunity today to just lift you up throughout this service and song, and then opening up your word and allowing it to penetrate our heart and our thoughts that we may be more like the Lord Jesus. And Father, we are mindful this morning to pray for revival in our country, that there would be a spiritual revival that would just sweep over our land, because we realize that the greatest need in our country is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the hope of the gospel. And how I'd pray that today our country, the hearts of people, would turn toward you. And we thank you again for the foundation of our country. But help us to realize now that we have a great opportunity to turn our hearts toward you. And may that happen all across this land, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, that people would realize that the greatest need in their life, if they do not know Jesus, is to come to know Him as personal Lord and Savior. And so we just ask for that to be taking place. And we just thank you now for the opportunity to sing praises to your name, blessed throughout this service, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Take God's word this morning, would you? And let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. And so good to see you. Good to have those here visiting with us all the way from Texas. Thanks for bringing the sunshine and the warm weather. Appreciate that. And so glad to have Aaron's family here with us today, and others here as well. So we praise the Lord for that. 1 John chapter 2, we're looking at verse number 1 and verse number 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Last Sunday, if you recall, I preached a message from 1 John about there's two ways that we can deal with our sin. We can deal with our sin by trying to cover it, or we can deal with our sin by trying to confess it. Today, we're going to look at this. We can deal with sin by conquering our sin, by being victorious over sin. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you this morning for the power of your word, and thank you for the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that when he died, he nailed those handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to the cross. He nailed our sins to the cross. We thank you that our sin is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all of that. And I would ask now this morning that you would help us to understand what it is to live in victory over sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Story. is written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner. Sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine.
Oh yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
And it's mine.
Oh yes, it's mine.
Oh yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Never more to roam.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad we have a home, a heavenly home that we are anxiously awaiting to be in and be free from all sickness, sorrow, and pain and all of that. And so thankful for that this morning. Amen. You guys got to be able to see, right? Yeah, there you go. All right, good. 1 John chapter 2 this morning, we're looking at the first two verses. 5 years ago, when I was in high school, I was wondering if anybody would catch that. But seriously, back when I was in high school, I ran track, and I ran the 100-yard dash. And at the starting line would be the starting blocks that you could push off of to help you start the race. Well, if you were not careful, you could push off too hard and stumble at the start. And I saw a few guys do that. And when I was thinking about that, I thought about this, is that when you and I received Christ as our Savior, not only was it the best day of our life, but we were also placed on a winning team. And one stumbling block that we all face in enjoying the victory that we have in Jesus Christ is the matter of sin. And we noted last week, and again, I just said this a few moments ago, but last week we learned that we can deal with sin by trying to cover our sin. We looked at that in 1 John chapter 5. And the Bible says, according to the book of Proverbs, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. There is no blessing for the believer in trying to cover our sin. Or we can deal with sin the second way, which really is a great way, is to confess our sin. When we confess our sin, what we are saying, God, I agree with you, that this is sin in my life. I'm going to say the same thing about the sin that I just committed that you have said about the sin in my life. If it was a bad thought, Lord, it was sin. Lord, I shouldn't have said what I said. So I'm agreeing with God faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that he promised that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then we notice also in verse number 1 and verse number 2 of 1 John that we can live victoriously over sin, that we can be more than a conqueror over sin. And let's notice from these two verses how that is possible. We notice in verse number 1 that we must first of all flee from the practice of sin. In fact, the first sentence of verse 1 seems like, at face value, an impossibility. Let's notice what it says. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Now, in your Bible, as in my Bible, is there a period there? Yeah. So the Bible says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And in that statement, we see what we should attain unto, that we sin not. Now, this is possible, stay with me, it is possible as we learn to walk in the light. Go back to chapter 1, look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, now who is light? God is light. And so verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So it is possible for us as God's people to come to a place where we sin not. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that won't happen until we get to heaven. Ultimately, that is true. Ultimately, we'll be in the presence and in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will sin no more because there will be no sin in the presence of God. In him is no darkness at all. So here this verse says that what we should strive for is that we would not sin. Let me give you a Bible example. Genesis 6:9 says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, I thought the only perfect person was Jesus. And that still is true. Jesus was without sin. So what does the Bible mean when Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations? It is a word that simply means he was a man of high integrity. He was a man without blemish. He was a man without stain, if you would. You look at Noah's life and he had such a walk with God that you would be hard-pressed to find any blemish in his life. Now, it doesn't mean that he was living a sinless, perfected kind of life, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. Noah here was a man perfect in his generations. So the idea is that Noah was so walking with God that he was so sensitive then to sin in his life that he did not want to sin. And when he did, he was quick to deal with it. He did not try to cover it up. He confessed it before God. God, I shouldn't have thought that. God, I shouldn't have said that. God, I've been overcome by something. God, help me. He was quick then in his life to make sure that he was not living, if you would, just in a perpetual state of rebellion or sin against God. Now, how does that relate to us? Well, here in verse number 1, my little children, he says, I write unto you that you sin not. God is saying to us, I do not want you to sin. I don't want you to sin. And that's what we should seek to avoid in our life. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse number 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Can we say that true of our life, that I love that which God loves and I hate that which God hates? And what does God hate? God hates sin. God hates sin in my life. In fact, that word hate is an interesting word. It means to detest. It describes someone who feels so strong against something that they attack it with great intensity. Last Sunday, I normally don't do this on Sundays, but ever since COVID, for the longest time, she will now, but for the longest time, my wife wouldn't go to the grocery store. I had to. And this was before they mandated masks and so forth, and I'd walk in the store and I see a lot of people with masks. I wasn't going to wear a mask, but anyway, I don't get off on that. But anyway, so last Sunday afternoon, I went to the store. Didn't have to get much, but I got a few things, and I got home and opened up the side door, opened up the screen door, and propped them both open so I could carry in the groceries, and I got a load in, I'm putting it on the table, and then I'm turning around to go back out, and I see a bee. I know, they're just small, right? But I saw a bee, and I went into bee ninja mode. I'm serious now. Ask my wife. I mean, I don't know karate, but I was making sure that little thing wasn't coming into my house. Because we did have a major problem with bees in the back door of our house, and I tried to treat that thing, couldn't do it, so I finally had to call pest control, and they came out and took care of it for us. But man, you couldn't go in that back door without them just bombing you. And there were those little yellow jackets. So that last Sunday, I just went into that great intense moment of making sure that bee was not coming into the house, and it did not. Yes. Well, that's the idea here in this passage where he says that you love righteousness and you hate iniquity. You hate it so much that there is a great intensity in your life to attack it, to say, no, I'm not going to sin here. I'm not going to do wrong here. I remember back in the day when I played sports, and I don't know what it's like today, but I remember back in the day in which I played sports in high school, that if you smoked and were caught, if you drank and were caught, you were off the team. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it, no forgiveness of that. You were done, you were finished. And so I never smoked in my life and never drank in my life. Now, was I offered the opportunities? Yes. But I will tell you, at that point as a teenager, my greater passion for not doing it was not because I would get kicked. The greatest reason was I would get kicked off the team. But now today, many years later, the greater intensity is this. I don't want to bring displeasure upon my God. I don't want to bring harm, one, to my body, but secondly, I realize that sin has to be attacked, and there are times in all of our lives, I care not how old you are here this morning, when you are going to be tempted by sin. You will be. But you then have to acknowledge the fact that, hold it, though the temptation is there, I do not have to give in to it. I've got to attack it with great intensity. And so he says here, my little children, write unto you that you sin not. But notice secondly, face the problem of sin. If we're going to be victorious over sin, we got to face the problem. No, so notice in verse number 1, he just said that you sin not. Now verse 2, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Note the phrase, and if any man sin. The idea is this, is that there is this truth that if and you will. So, there's something every one of us, boy, girl, man, woman here this morning, we all have in common. We have all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Right? We all have. And we are all going to sin. But yet, as we think about this, we must think about that there is a temptation that we must always fight. There is this pull on us from the allurements of the world that are around us. Partake of this, do this, go this route, think this way. Demas hath forsaken me, the Bible says, having loved this what? He loved the present world. He gave in to the allurements of the world. We have to fight that. But then there is the pull in us from the old nature, which longs for the things of the old life. How many of you understand this morning that when you got saved, your old nature did not get eradicated? It's still with you, isn't it? Now, you say, well, so what? Well, the so what is this. In you is a desire to do right. In you is a desire not to sin. But also residing in you is a strong pull at times to do that which is wrong. And let me say as I state that, don't think yourself as some wicked, low-down person because you struggle with that, because there was a man in the Bible that I want you to look at in Romans chapter number 7, if you would. Romans chapter 7, and he alludes to this battle in his own life, and this is the Apostle Paul. He was a man of God. He wrote half of the New Testament scriptures, and yet here he is just being full-on honest, and the struggle that he even lived. And he says in Romans chapter number 7, and start with me if you would, at verse number 14. He says, "For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Come on, can you relate to this guy? I can. Notice what he, let's just read that again. "For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not." It's like I know what I ought to do, but I don't do that. And what I don't want to do, I do. Look at verse 16. "If then I do that which I would not, I consider the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Wow. Let me just summarize that, if I may. Basically, what he is saying, I have two natures in me. I have a new nature that is created in the image of Jesus Christ. I have this old nature that, though I trusted Christ as my Savior, I still have to do battle with the old nature. The Bible uses the reference, the old man. And he says, so daily I'm doing battle. There is this good I want to do, and there's times I struggle doing that. Then there's this evil I know I should not do, but I end up doing it. Say, what's the key to all this? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and look, if you would, at verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5, and verse number 16, and verse number 17. The Bible says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now remember, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So there is no impurity with the Holy Spirit. He's never going to lead you contrary to the Word of God and the will of God. Never. So he says, walk in the Spirit. Live your life under the control of the Holy Spirit. Why? "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So with this in mind, church family, I want you to notice, even though the Bible says here, don't sin, back in 1 John 2, verse 1, but he says, "And if any man sin," in other words, God does know that we will sin. God knows this. Even though he doesn't want us to, even though he has set us up for victory, God knows that I'm going to sin. God knows you're going to sin. But yet we have to face that problem of sin, if any man sin. So we flee from the practice of sin. God help me, I'm not going to sin. Then I'm going to face the problem of sin, and when I do sin, I'm going to confess it. But notice also this main point this morning, and that is we need to find the provision for sin. Because now you come back to 1 John 2 and look at verse number 1, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, follow the progression here. We have an advocate, but if you do sin, he says, we have an advocate. We have one who is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, we have a Savior that defends us, an advocate, someone called in to stand by the side of another. Who are we speaking about? The Bible says it's Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. If you would, he is our lawyer, one called in to help a defendant who needs his case pleaded. Why would we need our case pleaded? Because if any man sin, boy, we're going to sin, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the great high priest who's making intercession for us, because we have a prosecutor that is vengeful. That's Satan. Revelation says this. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, day and night. In other words, around the clock, the prosecutor is doing what? He's prosecuting a case against us. See, God, there's your child. There they go again, thinking that wrong thought. There they go again. They sinned. They're not worthy of your grace. They deserve hell. And aren't you glad this morning that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, that he pleads our case before God. And he says, I believe, that our defense attorney steps up and says, Your Honor, my client is guilty. But Your Honor, don't look at my client. Look at me. I am the righteous one who died for all of their sins. On the basis of my shed blood, I plead for the remission of their sins. Amen. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's pleading on our behalf, not on our goodness, but on his blood that has been shed for us. And praise God this morning, when we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is a Savior that defends us. He is a Savior that delivers us. He is called the propitiation. Now, that's not a word we often use, but the Bible uses it here. And simply, what does it mean? It simply means this, that Jesus provided satisfaction for the justice of God. Think about this. There's times we'll make a statement, if I got what I really deserved, I would go where? To hell. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. But aren't you glad this morning for the grace and the mercy of God? Aren't you glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin? The Bible says that Jesus, when he died on that cross, and he cried out those great words, "It is finished." He had satisfied the justice of God. He is the propitiation for our sins. Praise God this morning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. Stay with me. But it's not biblical. Stay with me. But it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible, but it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible, but it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, but it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, but it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, but it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, but it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, it's not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, there not biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore biblical. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore now. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore now. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore now. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore now no. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore now no. Stay with me. The Bible says, therefore now no. What does no mean? Sometimes we'll say that to our kids. What does no mean? But no means what? None. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So when I stand before the Lord one day at that Bema seat of Christ, I'm not going to be standing there and having all of my life portrayed on a big screen with all of my sins that I've ever committed, because if that was true, then the blood of Jesus Christ has no power. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen? I mean, from all of it. And it's under his blood. And if you would, it's like Jesus Christ put a sign out there on that big pond and said, no fishing. No fishing. Guess what the adversary wants to do, though? He wants to keep bringing it back up. See, you can't really live a victorious life because this is in your past. But that's just it. It's in the past. It's under the blood. You can go forth from this point and go on and live for the Lord. And I thank God for that this morning. So here we see in this passage how we can live in victory over sin. So this week, I'm challenging you from the Word of God, seek to not sin. Because listen to this. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Now I know in this life I will never reach perfection. I get that. But I do know this. In this life, Jesus taught us, be perfect as your Father is. In other words, every day I need to strive to sin less. Every day. I need to be careful that when sin is presented to me, that I don't give in to it, but rather I say, I'm going to please God in my life, and I'm not going to give in. So may I say, I think it's a great and worthy goal for every child of God here this morning, this week, to strive not to sin. Because you want to be holy as He's holy. He's holy. And He said, be holy. So evidently, that means we can. And to be holy means to sin less. But then notice this week, when we do sin, confess it before God. I said it last week, I've said it earlier in this message, and I'm going to say it one more time. This week, when you do sin, be very quick to deal with it. I gave this illustration last week, but I got to give it again. Sometimes here's how, and I'm not judging any of us for doing this, but like before we pillow our head, we'll pray like a general prayer. Lord, forgive me for the sins I committed today. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with saying that statement, other than if your memory is like my memory, you may not remember the sins you necessarily committed that day. So when I sin going throughout my day, I want to be very quick and say, Lord, forgive me. I claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of that sin.
be very quick to do it. And you can confess it with a great promise that he is faithful and just to forgive. And then claim the victory over our sin. Claim the victory. You see, the Bible gives us two verses that I don't want you to turn, I just want you to listen to it. If we're going to claim the victory over sin, then to do that, we must lay aside every weight, as the Bible says, and every sin which thus so easily beset us. And to do that, we need to practice this Bible verse, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. I don't know what your besetting sin is, but you do. If someone, let's say, for instance, and let's say there's anyone here like this morning, but I'm just general illustration. Let's say there's an alcoholic. He's finally come to grips in his life that, hey, I've got to overcome this. And if he's going to get an overcoming spirit in his life about it, guess what he's not going to keep in his house? He's not going to keep any alcohol of any form, shape, or manner. Why? Because he wants to get victory over this problem in his life. Now, I throw that illustration out there because that is an illustration of whatever besetting sin is in your life, whatever it is, the Bible says, put on Jesus, be more like Jesus, and make not provision for the flesh. Many of you know I like chocolate. And I love those reports that say, because this way I can rationalize it, that if you eat X amount of chocolate every day, it does help lower your cholesterol. Great. I can enjoy the chocolate and see my numbers go down. But that's not necessarily true. Because reality is this. If I know that there are certain foods that spike my cholesterol, how many of you would think it would just be common sense not to eat those things? Huh? Yeah. And how many of you would think it make common sense not to have that around in your house to tempt you? Sure. Now, when it comes to sin in our life, we've got to make sure that we make no provision for it. I could keep going on and using illustration, but I know you get it. And as you get it this morning, this week, realize that as you leave this building here in a few moments, God has already set us up as his children for victory over sin. Jesus Christ has already finished the work. It is completed. He set us up for the victory over sin. And you're going to go out into a world that is a sinful world. It's made of sinful people. You're going to face some temptations this week. But may God help us to live in victory over sin and sin less this week. And let me say this, or ask you this. Have you put your sin where God has put it? God has put our sin on his son Jesus. He bore it on him on the cross. And you see, this is why it's such a mistaken thought for mankind in general to think, well, I'm doing the best that I can. Doing the best that you can will always come up short. You've got to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone to forgive you of all of your sin. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, there'll be those here this morning who say, Pastor, in my life, I do want to be victorious over sin. I realize it's not just a one-time decision,
But there are some things I'm dealing with in my life that I really need victory over. I really do. I'm tired of battling with it. I'm tired of struggling with it. And I really want to be an overcomer of it. And you've touched on some things through God's word this morning that have helped me. And I would that you remember me this week, Pastor, that this week I will be an overcomer of sin in my life. If that's your need, would you raise your hand, drop your head, anybody at all while we wait? Say, yes, God bless you. Is there someone else? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift your hand up, put it right back down. Say, yes, Pastor, there's some sin in my life that I just need to be an overcomer of. There's some things that I'm just struggling with. I really am. And I need God's help. I really do. And I would that you remember me in prayer. Anybody else while we wait? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Would there be those here this morning who say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I do not know for sure if I die to go to heaven, but today I want to know. I really do. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand, drop your hand, say, yes, that's my need. That's my need. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all while we wait? Father, this morning, I thank you for the victory that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have made the way possible that daily we as your people can live in victory over sin. Many of us are looking forward to that day when we will sin no more. When we are in your very presence and we are in the likeness of Jesus. But until that day, we realize we've got to deal with it every day. That old man, that new man. And how I'd pray that daily in our life this week, there would be a strong desire and practice to sin less. That when sin comes knocking at our door, we would not open the door. We would not make provision for it, but that we would yield ourselves to you. So, Father, help people this week. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.